Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Come in! It's tipping it down.
What have you done to the weather?
I said this country stuff. You need to deadhead your hydrangeas.
Okay, and I still haven't pruned my apple tree, so it's all going to pot here. But welcome. It's lovely to have you here in my house. It's been a while. Come and have a cup of tea.
I don't want a cup of tea.
Coffee.
Hello and welcome to The Great Indoors,
the podcast which reveals everything you ever needed to know about interiors and how to make it all really work for you in your own home.
I'm Kate Watson-Smythe.
And I'm Sophie Robinson.
Hang on a minute. Have you taken up sewing now? I thought I was doing the sewing. That's your collection material in a pillow. You been sewing?
No, obviously I haven't been. Kate, I've only just learned how to put a shelf up. I'm not about to start learning how to sew. But you're admiring all my lovely pile of fabrics.
Well, possibly.
Yeah, well, I'm having a little spring refresh, aren't I? And I thought that could be the topic of today's episode. And that is a pile of fresh bed linen and some tableware because I'm switching all the beds around. It's spring. And I've got my lovely pale pink with little spring flowers. That's my bed linen collection.
Back up with the this is my collection. We know about the collection. Are you telling me you have seasonal bed linen?
Well, I do now that I have my own collection of bed linen. And of course I do.
I do not have my own collection of bed linen, and there's no seasonal bedding in my house.
Well, once you do, you'll find it's a thing, right?
So now it's a thing.
No, I really like this time of year because I don't know if you get a bit of the SAD sad syndrome in winter. I mean, okay, we're moving through into spring, or at least looking forward to it. And I'm going to make my home feel like a fresh, optimistic, joyful. I'm bringing the spring vibes indoor because the weather's not delivering, basically, is what I'm saying.
Do you know, it's interesting. A friend of mine said to me the other day, she said she doesn't suffer from SAD. So what is it? Seasonal affective disorder. She doesn't have that. But she said, I am definitely solar powered. And I thought that is such a brilliant expression. She says as soon as the sun comes out, she feels ready to do stuff and like she can start again and just better in herself. I thought that was interesting. I am solar powered.
I think we all feel like that, don't we? And I think that's why this time of year, March, April, really ramping up in May, is the time to refresh your home, redecorate, have a rethink, any of those big projects that are on the horizon. We suddenly have the energy for it. But also, like, I've got all the girls coming around for lunch this weekend, and I have spring napkins and tablecloths that I put with my daffodils and tulips, which I'll be putting on the table.
Not only am I in the wrong house, I think suddenly I might be in the wrong podcast.
Do you not think, oh, this time of year, having people over, I'm going to use a different colour palette to fit my mood, different flowers? Sarah, producer, is literally doubled over dying at Kate's expression of horror.
I have
verging on disgust at everything I'm saying right now.
Well, I don't have a tablecloth. I've only got one set of plates.
Come and see my plates. I'm going to show.
Well, have you got plates in your collection now as well?
I've got a hidden cupboard, especially for my seasonal plate collection.
I'm sorry. My seasonal plate collection.
Yeah. Come and have a look at this.
We're standing in Sophie's kitchen, which for those who have lived under a rock for a while, she may have mentioned, used to be her sitting room. Now it's her kitchen. It's covered in floral wallpaper, and she's about to show us her hidden cupboard for her seasonal plates. Listeners, I can only apologise. I don't have seasonal plates. I'm clearly not a proper interior person.
Have seasonal plates after this. So this is in the island. I've just moved the bar stools out of the way. And look, little push cupboards that open up.
Oh, hear the knees crack.
Look at all my seasonal plate collection. So look,
God, how many people are coming for lunch on Sunday?
This is the Spode china with the Christmas trees on that we have Christmas.
You have Christmas plates.
Then I've got these really nice. These are for Bombay Sprat, hand painted. I think these are quite a nice summer plate in the raspberry red. And I've got the Spode blue and white. That's a very nice spring plate, I think you'll agree. So I'm going to use that this weekend. Then I've got all my melamine plates, obviously, for when we're in the garden picnicking. And then there's some bit of old Wedgwood in there, which is pink. That's quite a nice.
Well, what are you just going to have your dinner off tonight?
Oh, no, but that's in the everyday cupboard.
She's got an everyday
over
cupboard.
Here.
This is
over here in the everyday drawer, because I find a drawer actually more practical. So in the drawer, look at that. That's all my everyday. That's from Lara Duke. That's cheap, that is. Stack it high. And some bowls that my mother-in-law threw because she's a potter. So there's lots of her pottery in there too. So there you go.
I actually can't speak. I have 12 plates, might actually be 8, that I got from Soho House, which are quite a nice 70s earthenware.
Yeah, lovely.
Brown.
Yep.
With matching side plates.
Matching.
And pasta bowls. And I've got a few pink speckledy side plates that I got from Hot Pottery about 4 years ago because they're nice with the brown. And that's what I've got.
Brown. Multi-seasonal colour.
Exactly that. Exactly that. It is a year-round crockery collection. Right, and that'll be the end of this episode. Possibly my life. I'm 57 years old. I have just had an entire conversation about seasonal crockery. I don't know where to go from here. I've got nothing.
Well, let me get you on board with it, at least with the tableware.
I thought you were going to say, let me get you a glass of wine. That wasn't what you were going to say, is it right? Okay. Okay.
I'm trying to inspire you. So if you haven't got, I mean, I've had a long time to collect a lot of china, clearly.
You're younger than me.
And I am younger than you, but perhaps a bit more focused and intense.
Different priorities.
Different priorities. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not going to get you on board in the kitchen, in the dining area. Can I move you through to the TV snug? It's nice and dark.
And telly?
It's quite brown in there, Kate.
Oh, yes, I'll feel very comfortable. It's dark and in a chocolate brownie kind of way. It's my kind of environment.
So, Kate, now I've got you ensconced in my TV snug. I can feel the anxiety levels are dropping.
Yeah, because it's chocolate brown and chocolate muddy brown. Pink, and yes. It's all I feel more comfortable.
But we're
now
still in spring mood, and spring, I for me, is my favourite season because I love the spring flowers. You'll see on my windowsill, picked up a lovely bunch of tulips from the supermarket.
Oh, yes, they're nice. A sort of lavender coloured tulip.
Yeah, and then the daffodils from my garden.
I don't want to look at the daffodils.
You don't like the daffodils.
I like them in the field. That's the colour yellow that makes
but
me.
But could you not even just, I mean, I'm just thinking, that's what's so lovely, I think, about honouring the seasons is just the changing colour palette and the fact that we do get these lovely, bright, perky flowers in spring. Very delicate, pretty, warm, bright. Do you not just feel like a little bit of that to get you in the mood?
Well,
the
no, what I feel gets me excited. So when we came in past your front door and there were all your hydrangeas, which I think need deadheading, but that was a different conversation. And what I see there is all the brown flowers, which will disappear or be cut off. And I see the green shoots of the leaves. That's what I like. A daffodil is just not a flower I particularly like. It's too
lairy.
I quite like them in a field, quite like a primrose in a field or a garden or whatever. And I like a snowdrop. But for me, it's the green shoots and seeing the trees bud. It's not the flowers.
Yes.
It's the greenery.
It's the greenery. And it's the freshness of that green colour, isn't it? And I think in terms of a decorating colour palette, these are all the colours that sit so beautifully together. So I use a lot of sort of spring colours when I'm decorating. And I'm not saying in spring, decorate your house and then redecorate it in summer and then redecorate it in August. It's just you can harness this feeling of spring, this liveliness, this freshness, this softness, this really kind of lovely optimistic feel, that excitement, if you like, that you speak of the little green shoots sprouting with that colour palette. And it's a colour palette, okay, it's not in this snug, this very autumnal colour palette in here, which is why I brought you in here to calm you down. But like, for example, the conservatory at the other end of the house, that's where you see all those lovely fresh greens you're talking about, the little bright yellows, the soft pinks, the sky blues.
Bit of chalky blue, I like a bit of chalky blue.
Yeah, and I think if you're trying to instil that feeling in your home, it's a lovely decorating palette for creating rooms that feel jovial, sociable, creative.
So, I mean, I can't remember if I've said this before. We've said a lot on this podcast over the last 5 years. But the one thing that always struck me is years ago, I used to write for the Financial Times House and Home, and I did a series on international decorating styles. And I remember interviewing some Finnish people and writing about Finland. And they said, obviously slightly stereotypically, but it's there's a truism in every cliche, that they tend to use simple tab top curtains and those rag rugs that would traditionally have perhaps been made by your granny. I don't know if they still make them. And they change them with the seasons. So because a tab top curtain's fairly easy to change. A curtain doesn't take up much room, you know, if it's not, if you're not using it, you can fold it
just
up
like
and put
a
it away with the sheets.
Or something,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yes. Mm. And so that they would change their curtains and maybe have, you know, a heavier tab top in winter and a lighter, fresher, breezy linen colour in summer. And I really like that idea. And I spoke also to Marianne Brandy, a Danish designer, and she was saying, you know, you change your clothes with the seasons, so why not change your decor? And she's not talking about painting your walls for every season, but just swapping in and out accessories. And as we say, textiles, so cushion covers, curtains, linen curtains. They don't take up much room, so you don't have to live in a big space.
Me,
not
my
plates.
Seasonal bed linen.
Can't fold your plates
My
up.
Seasonal bed linen, my seasonal tablecloth. She's suddenly on board. Oh, yes.
yes. Curtains and cushions I'll go for.
I think as well, though, a bit of seasonal display. So, you know, if you're not into tulips and daffs, and I get it, you're not, what about a lovely big branch of blossom? I always think that looks really super cool in spring.
Do you know, there's that, it was, is that American designer, Athena Calderoni, right? I swoon. She's huge, massive. She, I think it's fair to say, if she didn't invent it, she popularised the idea of the big branch on the enormous kitchen island. She's got a big house, all three. And so we had in our last house, there was a beautiful lilac tree at the bottom of the garden. I mean, actually, I think, truth be told, it might have been in the bottom of next door's garden, but there was a bit hanging over. So I thought, I'm doing this branch thing, got an island, doing the branch thing. Cut the lilac branch off, brought it into the house. It smelt divine for about a day. And then all the leaves, all the flowers
fall
off.
The lilac doesn't like being cut.
It doesn't like being cut. And then I did it with the cherry blossom, because she definitely had cherry blossom.
Oh, yes.
And that all fell off in 10 seconds. So I don't understand the branch thing. I mean, is she hairspraying them on? Is that a stylist trick?
Well, maybe
so that was
fun.
The branch
Who
thing.
Knows?
Well, so the whole branch thing, I mean, I like the idea of it, but
yes,
that wasn't
going
to work.
Well, that's why I think we have to embrace it while we can, because the spring season is, like all seasons, transitory, and the blossom is only out for a certain amount of time, and yeah, the petals do drop.
I like
fast.
A green branch, though. The house was shot for a newspaper before Christmas, and a stylist came, and you know, normally that doesn't happen, and she said she turned up with armfuls of foliage, and she said, I'm so over flowers, I'm now just using foliage. And I was like, oh my god, I'm so stealing that, because she just had big vases of leaves. And actually, it's not just green, is it? Because she bought green leaves with kind of burgundy edges, and
nice.
You know, there's eucalyptus leaves which are kind of silvery, and then there's olivey green leaves and brighter green. And I just thought that I'm over the flowers.
Well, I think foliage is lovely. It's really architectural. It makes a real statement. But I see it's more of like an autumn winter thing, when flowers are really, really expensive. And that's the whole thing with spring. The flowers are in abundance and they're cheap. I got that big bunch of tulips for a couple of quid. And I just think they last for ages as well. That's the other thing.
Well, how do you stop the droop then? There's all sorts of theories,
tip,
aren't there?
Is
it like a 2p in the bottom of the glass because the copper keeps them upright?
Yeah, something like
or
that.
Or stick a pin in the bottom, or it's put them in lemonade. There's all sorts of theories.
But
to
I don't
stop
mind
the tulip
a drooping tulip. I think they look quite charming when they droop.
Yeah, I quite like them when they droop.
This time of year as well, I think, traditionally, you know, we're coming up to Easter. We're coming up to all those bank holidays. They're on the horizon. And I think it is that time of year when we start thinking of projects. And yeah, you know, it's the classic spring clean, it's the declutter, but it's also the taking on the decorating. I think what happens is when the light starts shining through your windows, which you've had clean because it's spring, I always have a good spring clean in my windows, you start noticing all the cobwebs, all the peely paint, all the dark corners. Do you find that?
Well, and also I think there's that yes, of course you notice that because you've been living under electric light for so long, and then suddenly the light comes in. But it's also, I think, because if we're a bit solar powered, you're feeling a bit rejuvenated and you suddenly think, okay, the days are a bit longer, the sun's a bit warmer, I've got the energy to tackle that. Or that peeling paint, which I could ignore because it was December and it was cold and I didn't want to do it, I now feel a bit more energetic and I'm ready to repaint that corner.
I think after meeting Justin and learning how to put a shelf up and some basic skills, I might be up for a bit of a DIY, upcycling, restoring, fixing. I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah, it's the time of year, isn't it?
And you've got your sewing machine.
Yeah, I love a bit of sewing. Straight lines only, nothing complicated. So, I mean, it's absolutely this time of year. I remember when I was a trainee reporter on the local newspaper in Birmingham, and we used to get once a year, and it was sort of March, April time around the Easter holidays and the big DIY year. It was always supposed to be, back when things were more seasonal, the biggest DIY weekend of the year. And there'd be a lot of advertising based around that. And I think it's still true to a certain extent. So interior design books often come out in the spring. Mine have always come out in March and April, because that's the time of year when people start to think about their houses. So you don't bring out an interior design book necessarily in the autumn.
Yeah, and you get lots of the collections seasonal. Coming out, don't you? Exactly. You're right, new collections come out in the spring.
But there used to be a report from RoSPA, which, and I can't remember it exactly, but it's the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents, I think. And they would have all their statistics, and there would be the DIY accidents. So they'd have a report of, you know, X number of people went to A&E because they'd had an accident with
bank holiday weekends.
Yeah, or fallen off a ladder, or, you know, various esoteric accidents. And there'd always be a story in it for the local paper about, you know, Mrs. Miggins, as, you know, she's been trying to repaint the sitting room and she's fallen off the ladder and, you know, twisted her apron.
Or been too adventurous with the power tools.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, okay. Oh, well, you're kind of putting a bit of damp squid on my projects now. I'm now worried that I'm
going to fall off your ladder.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to rethink that. Gardening as well is going to be my thing.
Well, I was going to say, you can't have any projects indoors. You've done
no,
this
I've done
house
it, haven't I?
From
I
end to end and up and down again.
I am actually looking
around. Are you
bored
now? Are you going to change it?
No, I'm going outside. So, very cleverly in, was it December or January? I can't remember. Maybe it was December. I planted, this is the royal we, the royal
Tom.
Eye. loads of bulbs. And I don't know if you noticed when you walked in, but there was a couple of planters outside the front door. And I put my bulbs in. And now they're coming out, Kate. It's so thrilling. So I think, you know, obviously if you didn't plant your bulbs in readiness, it's time to start thinking, though, I think, about refreshing the outside. And the front door is actually just a really good place to start, right? It might be that you wash it down. You might repaint your front door this time of year. But I think some pots with some spring bulbs or some spring plants, maybe you want to jet wash down your front path. Just easy little refreshers.
That's the trouble for me and gardening, I think. It's not that I'm now at my advanced age terribly spontaneous, but you've got to think in advance. And you've just made that point. You know, you had the foresight to think before Christmas, or someone told you to think, or you hired someone to think for you.
Well, it might be
there
the latter.
You go, to plant your bulbs, and now you're reaping the joy. And I'm now looking at my pots and thinking, well, I didn't know I had to plant those, and I can't be spontaneous, so I'll have to go to the shop and buy my
flowers. You will actually have to go to the shop and buy some plants to put them in, because you haven't got the bulbs. But you can still do that. And again, it's an affordable time of year. What are your thoughts on the spring door wreath? Because you're going to see those popping up on Instagram.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing. That is a thing about people who are looking for content.
We're sounding really old-fashioned now, aren't we? Because for us, I suppose, the wreath is a Christmas thing. Yeah. You have a Christmas wreath, but then there's the autumnal wreath that comes out around Halloween. And the spring wreath is growing in popularity with seasonal spring flowers on your front door. But I'm with you. It's still a Christmas thing.
I mean, I don't mind that as an idea somehow. I mean, the Halloween one just strikes me as merchandising and marketing, so I like that less. I mean, I can see that, yeah, maybe the spring wreath. I'm not having one.
The other thing that I'm seeing popping up in my ads is the spring merchandise. So little ornamental bunnies that you bring out at springtime.
Well, you see, don't start me on that, because that's where we've got to the sort of commercialisation. Yeah. We've had it with Halloween. You know, it was just Christmas and now it's Halloween, and it's all just selling us stuff, isn't it?
So you're not going to be buying any little ceramic bunnies for your windowsills.
How can I put this?
No, okay.
This is a family podcast.
No, I've never bought into that too. I like to do it more, like I said, with the flowers and with, you know, we've already talked about decor items that you can then pack away and bring out. I suppose you could put your bunnies away in the bottom drawer and bring them back out. But I don't know, it's not such a thing for me either. And I worked on magazines for many years in the early noughties. And like you say, it's all about finding that content. And the Easter magazines always sold really, really well. Again, because as you say, this is when people are thinking about refreshing, redecorating, doing DIY and working on an interiors title. It's a big time of year for us. But there was always like the dyeing egg tutorials, how to dye your eggs different colours for Easter.
You see, I don't mind that.
Make an Easter tree.
Well, that's a traditional thing, isn't it? I think in parts of Eastern Europe, there's a massive thing about painting eggs and learning how to do it. And so So that feels slightly different. And again, perhaps that's something that your kids might do. We always had, when the boys were at primary school, they used to have an Easter egg competition.
Oh, yes, and the Easter bonnet competition.
Yeah, well, so that. They did eggs and they had to decorate them. And my boys got really into that because it was the making. And I remember one of them wanted to make Mr. Tickle because he's kind of egg-shaped from the Mr. Men and long orange pipe cleaners for arms. And I said to him, shall I carry it up to school, because it was up a little hill. It was like a 5-minute walk, but it was uphill. No, I'm carrying. I was like, okay, of course it smashes.
Oh dear. He dropped Mr. Tickle.
He dropped Mr. Tickle. We had to make another one. But he won that year, I think. But then he did one of them did Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp as an egg pirate.
Oh.
So they kind of really enjoyed that. So those, I suppose, I like those kind of crafty making things. And that's kind of a tradition,
isn't
it?
Well, maybe it is the traditions, and then it's the sentimentality, I suppose. And I suppose that comes through with the whole celebration of Easter. And
I used to make something, not decorating eggs as a child, but it was around this time of year, miniature gardens. Have you ever made a miniature garden?
I've never even heard of such a thing.
What's a miniature garden? Oh my God, I used to get so into it. There must have been a competition in the village where we lived. So you'd basically get like a fruit bowl or a shallow bowl.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit of earth and then lots of moss that would be the grass, and you'd make a garden. So you'd get a tiny mirror that you'd steal out of your granny's handbag, and that would be the pond.
Yes.
And then you'd make a little matchstick pergola, or you'd make a swing. I used to love making miniature gardens.
Ooh.
That was a springtime thing. I remember the moss really carefully. And then there must have been some village fete.
We'd show off your miniature gardens. Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah, they were really cool. I used to spend hours doing those.
Oh, I love that idea.
So you go around the garden and just you're foraging for twigs, and you do them at the last. So you would pick the flower, and you know, you'd put a real flower. Well, you could, for example, you'd sink a thimble, if you had such a thing, maybe an egg cup is slightly bigger, into your earth in your fruit bowl, and then you could put a little bunch of tiny snowdrops or celandines or something in it. Ooh. And then they would just last long enough.
In a little mini thimble vase
planted into your earth and surrounded by moss, so they look like they were growing. I love a miniature garden.
Oh my
making.
God, I'm so going to do that.
That's
I'm
thing.
So not going to do that.
You're
though.
So
I'm
not so going to do that, but you could employ that, someone to do it for you.
Out. So Lucy's now joined us on the
Hello,
sofa.
Hello, Lucy.
And some people are horrified that I let her on this beautiful sofa. This is my beautiful sofa in a patterned Wonderland velvet. But the pattern's really holding up well from the paw prints, I have to say.
But that's always the key with pattern. That's the secret decorating tool. We had, in the last house, we had a very knackered old Persian rug under the dining room table. And it was brilliant because it didn't show coffee or red wine or pasta stains or anything. And in the new house, that Persian rug was too big to go in their current kitchen. And I've bought a really quite nice, allegedly washable. Well, it is. It's a washable sort of cream kilim.
Oh,
and it's actually,
cream
well,
on a
do you know what?
Table.
Do you know what? The
oh
thing
God,
that's the
mad.
Thing that, well, clearly. Well, and I thought, you know, cream, it's nice. It's light colours. It's a smaller kitchen. It's quite a dark kitchen. Need a light floor. Mm. And also, you know, we've reached an age where we're not, you know, I haven't got toddlers. We're not throwing food on it all the time. So it's completely food, wine, coffee, stain free. But it's just really dusty.
Dusty? Yeah. You heard of a Hoover? What are you talking about, dusty?
Well, I don't know. It just seems to attract the... Maybe it's cat hair. It's grey cat hair. And I thought, but this is fine because, you know, they've sold me this rug as a washable rug. That's brilliant. Well, it doesn't fit in the washing machine. What kind of washing machine do you have to wash a rug? So you suddenly realise that all those, oh, buy this rug, it's washable. Well, only if you've got an industrial washing machine.
Well, I suppose that's like your duvets. You've got to take them to the laundrette, no?
You've got to take it to the laundrette. But as I mentioned earlier, the table which has no tablecloth on it, which is the vintage Gooby table with the marble top,
that's
quite
not,
heavy.
It's not coming off the rug anytime soon, is it?
No.
Well, I think, again, this is the best time of year for doing that. So this is a time of year where you start thinking about switching your duvets over. Go to the laundrette with your duvets, with your pillows, with your rugs. Get them all washed.
Yes.
Send the mad husband down there with the weekend supplements.
And buy
get them all
rug.
Washed. It's a really good time of year to get everything clean.
I never change my
fresh.
Duvet tog.
Have you seen the state
last
of
time
dog?
I changed
She's
my duvet tog?
Lying on her back, going rub at my belly. Do you know we're working here, Luce? We're actually working. She's going a bit crazy because it's been raining so much. I haven't been able to take her for a walk for 2 days.
That
she will not go outside in the rain.
You've gone a bit cabin.
She's
fever.
Gone a bit cabin
fever
crazy.
Weather?
Yeah, you just got to settle. Mummy's working. So we've washed our duvets, we've cleaned our rugs, we've washed our windows. I'm going to fling the windows open as well while I'm at it. Let the fresh air
in. Oh, I like in. A bit of that. I read a book about that. It's letting all the bad genies out.
Yes, let out your bad genies. Yes. Let your bad genies out. Start afresh.
It's interesting because this year I felt, I can't kind of think of a cartoon analogy, but I slightly felt that January took me by surprise. I mean, I know it's been in the calendar for 12 months, I know, but I just kind of wasn't ready. I normally like to have a period between Christmas and New Year where I'm like thinking myself into the New Year. You're doing your vision boarding.
I'm vision boarding, yeah.
That didn't happen to me this year. I just didn't have time, maybe. And I just kind of felt that the lift door opened and I got pushed into 2024 and I wasn't quite ready.
So many people have been feeling like that. I felt like that. I had the busiest January I've ever had.
It was really weird. And so now I feel that actually I don't have to start my year on January the 1st. Oh, no. I can start now, and now it's a bit quieter and the sun's coming out, and so I'm doing the spring. I'm starting 2024 in March.
Yes!
So it's going to be a short year. Which, you know, possibly no bad thing. Last year was, you know, 15 months long, turns out. Well, we're glad to see the back of that.
Yes.
So I'm going for a short 9-month 2024.
So you can do
starting
your,
in March.
Do your vision board now, Kate.
I might do
What's
a vision
What's on
board.
Your vision board? What's going to be on your vision board? Go on, talk me through it.
I can't.
Go on. Let's do it now. What is your...
She's making me live vision board. Those are all my innermost secrets and insecurities. I can't possibly talk to them with you.
I want 20,000 other people.
Yeah, 20,000 other people. No, well, I'm going to, you know, be less stressed.
Oh.
Yes.
So it's not... Okay, so I'm going to coach you now.
Oh.
So it's not about being less stressed. It's about being... What's the positive of less stressed? Calm and in control.
Okay. Calm and in control. And I'm rubbing magnesium on my feet.
Well, that will help.
That's really good.
Well, there
you
go.
Did you know about that?
Yeah, I did know about that. Yeah.
Are you doing that? I've only just come across it. I've only been doing it for 3 days.
I'm on the CBD oil for my calm and peaceful.
I had some of that once. It sent me completely loopy. Well, it was in a drink. I felt like my drink had been spiked. It was really bad. But yes, magnesium oil. Rub it into your feet before you go to sleep and it makes you all zen and sleep well.
And then what else? What else? You can't just have one thing on your vision board. What else are you doing? So you're peaceful and calm.
I'm being peaceful and calm and focused, laserly, laser-like focused.
Focused.
Yes.
Okay. Intentional focus. What's that on? What's your focus going on? Oh, this is the bit that makes you squirm because you don't want to tell me.
I don't want to tell you.
I can't tell you.
Well, I don't know.
Part of the vision board is putting it out there in the universe. You can't keep it a secret. You have to speak it and then it shall happen. Anything else you're letting in this year?
What are we bringing in? We're going to bring in new business opportunities.
Oh, what do they look like?
Well, if I knew that.
It's a vision. You don't have to know.
Oh, it's
what
a vision.
Are you visioning?
So my visioning, what I'm visioning is, and I've started it though, so does that count if it's not a vision?
Yeah.
So we're going to open up the house in Italy to design retreats and welcome people in to come for the weekend and do a couple of interior design workshops and go to the vintage market and drink lots of cocktails and hang out with like-minded people.
So inspiring.
That's my vision.
I love that.
So there
we go. And how's that going to feel? So you've got to think about how's that going to make you feel opening your house and having all these people come in it?
That's going to, do you know, I feel quite excited about
yes,
that.
Yes, I feel that.
I do. Because they're not staying in the house because it's not, although it's a ridiculously big house, there's not room, there's not enough bathrooms for people to stay. So they're going to stay in a hotel nearby where they will have a lovely catered hotel breakfast and someone to make their bed for them. And then they will come to the house and they will have a tour of the house and they will understand my decorating process and we'll all hang out. And then we've got a pizza oven. We're going to make pizzas. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. So 2024 is about fun, right?
Yes.
You're going to have fun
in
your new calm and peaceful demeanour.
Yes. There we go.
I love that. That sounds so inspiring. And being with people in real life. I mean, like, it's so nice.
That's so key, isn't it?
You know, having you in my home today, because I know we mainly do this virtually.
Yeah.
Because we're geographically quite far apart. But I think that's one of my visions for 2024 as well, is being in real life with people a little bit more.
Yes. Well, I hate this word experiential because it feels like a made up word. But it is that having experiences, sharing time together, sharing food together, sharing.
So sharing's a word. You've got sharing on your vision board.
Oh, there we go. You'll have to make the board for me. You know how you get people. You know how you get people to plant your bulbs. Sorry, am I breaking the Mystic Meg mood? I need you to just put this in. I give you the words and you do the actual gluing and sticking. Does that work?
I think, I agree with you, Kate. I actually think this is the time of year to put your intention in action. Whether it's refreshing your home, putting a vase of flowers on the table, or completely rethinking your financial abundance in a peaceful, calm way. I'm so here for
refreshing
that.
Refreshing your ideas. Not necessarily your home, just your ideas. Have a word with yourself. Actually, so many ideas there. Spring, I am ready for you. 2024, better late than never. I'm on board now. So's Lucy. There's an endorsement for you. Lucy and I are on board.
We'll be back next week with our monthly star surgery. So do send us in those questions and we will offer up our pearls of wisdom. Simply send us an email, or you know we prefer a voice note, to help@thegreatindoorspodcast.com. Now, if you're an insider, you can send us an email to insiders@thegreatindoorspodcast.com. And of course, we will give you top priority.
All that remains is to thank our producer, Sarah Cudden of Feast Collective.
And to thank you, our lovely listeners. And we'll see you in the great indoors.